You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 3, Episode 7, Fresh Blood. Sam and Dean face off against Gordon Walker, who has recently become a vampire.
Welcome back to IdgitCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I am here in my kitchen in Elk River, Minnesota with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Chewing.
Who's chewing some apple slice. Okay, nice. And I am also joined by my good friend, John Pavlich.
Hey, hey, hey.
He's our expert.
And stuff.
And stuff. And we also have with us Yvette.
Hi, y'all.
And she's awesome.
And beauty.
That's true.
And she's got really nice hair.
She's an expert at being herself.
Yeah, I am.
She has the best hair ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh totally. My God, y'all. Thank you.
The other day I called it, was it Cascading Ribbons of Chocolate?
Yes, I think I saw that.
Aw, y'all, I feel so loved.
When I meet you, I'm going to touch your hair. I know that
all my coworkers
horrible,
do,
but I can't
feel
wait
great.
That wouldn't be inappropriate at all.
Especially, she
She's
got the heads
been
up.
Warned. She's been warned.
She got the heads up.
Coming.
If she wanted to touch mine, she could. She probably won't because it's nothing like hers. But you know, it's
and like
and I might like still want to.
Like your jewelry is going to get tangled up in her hair. It's going to be a whole big mess. You're going to have to go to the doctor.
Mine's it's not even soft. My hair used to be soft, but now that I'm getting older, it's like getting coarse and it's not nice anymore. It's not
well,
fair.
We don't have a guest with this episode, but I'll spoil you that we do have feedback that I'll be able to read live and not edit in later.
Woo!
Yay!
I won't, yeah. from,
I won't tell
is
you
it
who
from.
From. I won't tell. I can't tell.
Oh. No.
Maybe.
Hazel, get out of the sink.
She promised me she was going to start sending in feedback.
Yeah, well, I've promised many podcasts I was going to send in feedback on time. I can't say that it's happened very much.
I'm just promise telling you it. What she told me.
All right. Well, also a behind-the-curtain secret. We're recording this immediately after that commentary you heard last week, so therefore, we're working from notes that I wasn't able to make myself. Unless I was scribbling really fast while we did the commentary, and that would have been really distracting. So, we're working from the summary from SupernaturalWiki.com.
Yay!
They don't
Yay.
Make any money, so I think I can do this freely. And if they care, then we like you guys. You do a really adequate job.
A really adequate job.
Very, very adequate.
Indeed. You do a fine job.
All right, so we're going to go.
Okay.
Gordon Walker has escaped from prison. We didn't get to see that. And tracks down Bella after he finds out she had been working with the Winchesters. Because apparently tracking down someone you've never met before is easier than tracking down the Winchesters. Well, she probably doesn't cover her tracks as well. No need.
You'd think she would.
Yeah. Although he threatens to shoot her, she only reveals their whereabouts when Gordon gives her a priceless mojo bag. Yeah, okay. Sam and Dean are hunting a vampire who has killed two people. They find a third victim still alive, and Dean captures the vampire and subdues her by injecting her with dead man's blood.
Oh, and of course the vampire is Harmony.
Yay!
It's always, Mercedes McNabb.
It's always good to see Harmony the vampire.
It is. I love Harmony. That was one of my favorite Buffyverse characters.
Yes.
Just loved her. I loved her on Angel, loved her on Buffy. Just love her.
I'm sure that nobody on Potential Cast or Redemption Cast listens to us.
Yeah, it's fine.
If you guys want to see Mercedes McNabb when she was like 12, go watch the Addams Family movies.
Oh. Yeah. That's right. She plays like Wednesday's like enemy.
Rival. Like
yeah.
Oh, she's so good in that.
Why are you dressed like that? Did somebody die? Wait.
God, that movie's so good. Those movies are so great.
Mm-hmm. They're better than they should be.
Well, they've got such a great cast. I mean, like Angelica Houston just livens up every single thing she's in. Raul Julia. just, oh god, I love it. What's in Adam's Family Values, the blonde lady, what's her name?
That's Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack, oh, yeah. That's right. Oh gosh, she's so good in that.
Are you guys hearing like a crackling staticky thing?
I'm not causing one.
It might be me, but I wouldn't know. I don't hear anything.
Seems to be gone now.
Okay.
It's only because I brought it up.
Yes.
It'd still be there if I hadn't said anything.
It was the crackle ghost.
So anyway, yay, Harmony. Crackle.
Those are good.
But now Harmony's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that Sam and...
It felt weird because we know that they didn't kill the, like, you know, trying to be good vampire, like, a.k.a. Tara, but they do kill... I don't get it.
Yeah, I believe her name was Lenore.
Yes.
But why did they think that this one was unsavable or whatever? Or
I mean, she was an innocent victim who barely even knew she was a vampire, so therefore,
yeah,
right. Well, I guess the idea is that like Lenore was, she had made a conscious choice to like, you know,
she was old enough to be controlled about things.
Abstain, yeah. Like she had been a vampire for a while, and whereas this girl had been turned into a vampire against her will, so like she's gonna get hungry, she's gonna kill somebody.
She already has a couple of times without even knowing it.
Right.
When Sam and Dean interrogate the vampire Lucy, they find out that she was picked up in a club by a guy named Dixon who spiked her drink with vampire's blood.
Oh, I just realized like the character's name is Lucy. I wonder if that's a reference to Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, possibly.
It very well could be.
Oh, maybe. Because those blonde vampires are pretty Bram Stoker-y, like later on.
Yeah, they all are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He took her back to his place, but she escaped and started killing people to feed. She is unaware of what's happened. She thinks she's on a drug high and can't come down. Seeing no alternative and with Sam's approval, Dean kills her. Meanwhile, Gordon and Kubrick interview her third victim in the hospital and find out that the Winchesters were the ones who saved him. Sam and Dean visit the club where Lucy had her drink spiked. They see a man fitting the description Lucy gave, leaving with a woman and intervene just as the woman is about to feed her vampire blood. Yeah, he's not really an old-fashioned vampire. He should be, like, turning everybody, like, really, this whole sneaky turning people without them even knowing about it.
It's weird because there's so many people that want to be vampires. Like, even in our world, like, you know, if you just, like, walked up and offered a lot of people that, they'd be like, of course I'll be a vampire, sure.
They'd like to be one with the lonely ones.
Exactly. What was her name? Again, Chanterelle.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many people that would be down. I mean, hell, I would take the offer. Why not? You get to be, like, young, immortal, and, like, beautiful. Why not?
And evil and only drink blood.
That's fine. I'm just putting the offer out there. If there's any vampires listening to our show, just yeah, like I put the offer out to Satan before.
Still eat figs or something too, in case you enjoy that.
Well, I mean, depending on the universe, you can eat whole bloomin' onions if you want.
Bloomin' onions.
Yeah, if I can eat
bloomin'
onions. Or
spicy buffalo wings.
Yes.
I love those things.
Me too.
Okay. Sam and Dean visit the club. We did that. Just as Sam and Dean start to fight Dixon, Gordon and Kubrick appear and start shooting at the boys. While Dean draws their fire to give Sam a chance to escape, Dixon knocks Gordon out and kidnaps him.
Did y'all want to see Gordon again?
Yeah. I think he was still coming. Oh. I was pretty sure he was.
Yeah. I was cool with that.
I mean, he said he had to get broke out, and I expected to see it happen, but, you know, that's not a criticism necessarily. I just, like, I probably could have seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not in the budget.
No.
That would have also required them to write a prison escape.
Yes. Well, you know, they could
Don't want to give anyone any ideas.
No prison break spec for them, right? It's probably before that movie, before that show.
Just do, like, in Racing Arizona and just, like, have him, like, crawl out of like, the ground and just start screaming.
Burst out of a muddy hole in the ground.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. That would work.
Have y'all ever seen the Jim Jarmusch movie with, like, Tom Waits and Steve Buscemi, Down by Law?
Oh. Down by Law, I've missed. I really regret having missed so far, but I have.
Yeah, like, I'm aware of it, and I've always been curious about it, but I never
That is my favorite prison break movie ever. It's so good. And, like, every Jarmusch movie, it's so stylish, and the music is amazing. It's so good.
I have the soundtrack
in New Orleans, so, of course, I feel
Dead Man.
I love Dead Man.
Neil Young.
Oh, Dead Man's so good.
Yeah.
I liked the one that it was like Stranger Than, was it? It was like one of his super early ones.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
I can't think of the name of it. Anyway,
it was. It was like.
It had like a Screamin' Jay Hawkins song that played like over and over again in it.
Yeah, it was like Strangers in Paradise or Stranger Than Paradise.
Yeah, Strangers in Paradise. That's it. Oh god, yeah. That movie's so good. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry. Jarmusch cast.
Yes.
Well, it's funny you bring him up because his most recent movie is all about vampires.
What is his most recent movie?
What's it called? It's got like Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston in it, and they're vampires.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've heard of it.
It's called Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yeah, I have heard of that.
It's supposed to be really, really good.
I wasn't aware it was Jarmusch, actually, so.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to see that.
All right. Oh, and Kubrick and Gordon are really bad shots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's moving targets and they're dodging and ducking and everything, but
also Dean is the main character, so
well, they could graze him.
Yeah, you think
it happens?
Well, you know, that's one of the problems of us knowing that this show goes on for 72 more seasons is that nothing really happens to like Dean and Sam, so they're never in any real danger.
I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, they're in a pickle now, but they'll be fine.
And one of them's already died once already, and the other one was close to the edge of death.
Yeah, I mean, we know that your boy's not going to die at the end of this season, obviously. Or if he does, maybe he'll be a ghost the rest of the time, but I doubt that.
That would be the best thing ever.
It kind of would be. Or if they're ghost both Dean. Ghosts.
No, Sam will save him at the last minute, and then Sam will be the ghost.
I'm fine with that, too.
Just as long as he gets a haircut. Lord.
Ugh. That's never going to happen.
The beard that he had at ATX, hopefully that's not like show beard. Hopefully that's a post-show beard, but who knows?
Is he trying to be hipster?
Well, he was on the panel at ATX for Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm.
He had serious beard.
Yuck.
Okay. I like a beard.
I do not like a beard.
The hair was still a problem, and the beard was even more of a problem.
Mm.
In my opinion.
For like that kind of old school, like, you know, like I'm just a dude who does dude things.
I have a 3-day beard at the moment.
There we go.
That's probably where I'll keep it.
Yeah, my 3-day beard doesn't count. I had one before I shaved today, and that did not count as beard.
I actually had a really thick beard over the course of the summer. Because I got so depressed that I just got lazy and just didn't shave my face,
mm-hmm.
and so that's like true. I had this really crazy beard going for like months, and I finally like I started to feel a little better about myself, and I was like, I'm gonna shave my face.
John, you're really cool, by the way.
Aw, you guys.
Hey, you've been doing Sofa Dogs forever. It's awesome.
Yay me!
How long have you been doing that?
Almost 10 years.
Oh my god.
It'll be 10 years in April.
Wow. That's like as long as Fox has been alive.
I'm actually working on expanding to YouTube. I'm gonna do companion videos. I'm gonna do a health and wellness vlog. Once I get settled, I'm gonna start like taking better care of myself, and I'm gonna document it. And I'm going to start doing Let's Plays for like video games and stuff.
Hazel, cut that out.
They can't hear her lick anything.
Well, she's on the ironing board. Gross. Get down. If you're going to do that, stop it.
She says, I'm doing the laundry. This is where the laundry goes.
Fluff and fold.
Oh, bad cat.
Okay. Should I read some more?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Let's do... Okay, the screensaver turned on. That's definitely a sign I should start reading. Gordon wakes up to find himself bound to a bed frame. Nearby, two young women are restrained. Dixon is turning them into vampires. Dixon explains to Gordon that hunters killed his nest, including his daughter. And he's apparently been carrying a grudge for quite some time because that photo he shows is not exactly recent.
I want to know more about like the mythology of the vampires in this thing, because then later he says that the other girls are his daughters or whatever, even though we see him kind of like seducing them to get them to take the drug or the vampire blood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wonder what like the family relationships of these vampires are and how does this life work for them? Why I want to know more about getting the parts.
Their heads whacked off. Mm. Poor things.
I know. Like, and it, that does seem really like, man, they just have to like eat what to survive. Like, it's not their fault. Like, they're not. I don't know. That doesn't seem evil.
Well,
to
it kind of seems like genocide. Is that the parallel? Well, they're trying to make?
A little bit, yeah. That I mean, they're a dying breed.
But I mean, they do horrible things too. So.
And I mean, it's yeah. I mean, but it's like it looks like Yvette said. There's so many people that would willingly go.
Yeah.
So find people that will willingly go, and then it's not even evil to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they found people that were willing to go, and then like I'm sure there's people also who would be like totally down to just have their blood sucked by vampires. Like it doesn't have to be this big thing.
At least.
So many people. Like there's so many freaks in this world, and I'm not saying that our listeners are freaks if they're into like blood play or whatever. But like there are some people that love this stuff.
What is happening?
There are people. Yeah.
I'm just saying that there's like nothing wrong with being a vampire if that's how they are. It just seems like they're a different species or whatever. I don't think they should be getting killed.
I guess the issue comes when you're like just killing random innocent people and like and you like enjoy it. I guess that.
Yeah, but I like that the vampires in this universe are a little bit more gray area than Whedon vampire, where it's just like the demon took up residence in your body and now you're evil. For the most part, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a little bit of gray area with a couple of characters over the course of the entire vampire Whedonverse, but for the most part, it's pretty cut and dry on that series compared to this series.
I guess I just feel like vampires and people aren't exactly the same thing or whatever, and like plenty of people get pleasure out of killing animals for like sport and eating them. So how's it any different for like a vampire to kill a human?
I mean, that's where you usually run into the issue with people, because people generally look at animals as like lower beings, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, but people are more important because people can like do math and shit. And so like, you know, they're like, they stand upright and they talk and everything, you know, it's like people are like, oh, like animals don't have souls or whatever, like, or they don't know Jesus.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to PETA or the NRA, but I heard the most idiotic thing at a I think it was at the Ren Fair once. Were you there with me?
Probably.
There were these girls that were behind us at the next bench talking about a movie, and I don't know what movie it was, but they were like, you know, I was watching that movie, and they were talking about it, and they were like, you know, and they kept killing all those people, and I was all right with that, but when they did that to that cat, I had to turn it off.
I feel the same way, though, about that.
Because usually, it's like, in movies, it's like, don't kill children, don't kill animals, because those are innocents, you know?
I suppose.
Yeah, that's the general idea, but I mean, like, PETA is terrible. Like, they're like so weird. They're kind of like, you know, eco terrorists in the sense we'll set fire to a building and kill a bunch of people if it means like saving an animal. It's like that's kind of misguided.
Not to mention some of the ones that aren't PETA but are even more militant, that are like, these animals deserve to be free and we're setting them free, and sure, it's not their habitat and they're probably going to die in the first 24 hours, but they're free.
Right. And they've been domesticated and they don't, you know, like,
yeah, they come to expect people to feed them, and now they,
yeah, and like they grow attachments just like anybody else, and like maybe they don't want to leave.
They could never drink from a stream because they're so used to the little bottle with the little ball in it.
That's why, like, I've never understood like the really extreme folks that are like, your pet is like a slave and you shouldn't do that to them, and, you know, don't put them on a leash and all this kind of crazy stuff. Yeah, and it's
I'm quite certain that actually I am the slave who just got up and gave them water when they were looking.
Yeah,
at
It's like I beg your pardon, but this animal would be dead and unloved were it not for me. So
yeah, you hear that, Hazel? Dead and unloved. Got it, chump.
Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure you're turning the right end around in the litter box from now on, okay?
Yeah.
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 That cat. Poor Hazel. picking on her.
Okay. Hey, you know what? We've got a summary that I'm reading.
I know. I am so distracted. You can just...
I love the episode. I'm having a good time.
It is a good episode, but yes. I'm having a hard time. Bear with me. Very distracted today.
Yes. Dixon had been planning on using Gordon to feed the girls he is converting, but as Gordon continues to taunt him, Dixon snaps and instead cuts Gordon and bleeds onto the wound. Dean has worked out that Bella betrayed them to Gordon, and he calls her, threatening to kill her next time they meet. In order to placate him, Bella, using a Ouija board, not that she calls it that, to contact the spirit.
A talking board to contact the spirit. I wish it would have been a spirit board.
Yeah, let's talk about
witch
that
board.
For
yeah,
a, call little,
it a witch board.
A little. Why would...
Because Ouija,
it's trademarked.
Yeah, and they're very careful. They really don't want it to become a genericized trademark word.
But I wonder why.
But it is genericized, is it not? I mean, what else?
I kind of feel like it already is.
Yeah,
you know? Like there's like
it totally
like,
is, and
that's just
I feel
a natural
like
progression that you can't stop.
Yeah, and like brand recognition is a good thing. Like I'm totally one of those jerks that always buys name brand everything. So like I want Kleenex brand Kleenex.
Exactly.
I don't want like Kirkland's brand or whatever.
Puffs. Jeez, what's Puffs. With that? With lotion? So then you go and you try to get your glasses and you got a big smear. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to buy like, you know, that Sam's Club. You know, Kleenex. I want Kleenex brand. So, like, I feel like Ouija board would want you to be like, no, I need a quality Ouija board for contacting my ancestors or whatever.
Exactly.
Although I've seen a lot neater ones in stores that are you know, just calling boards.
Now, the one I had when I was a kid was like, it was like heavy duty Masonite.
Yeah, the one from my grandparents' house was, and it was a Ouija branded one.
Yeah, ours was too.
It was Masonite. The only thing that was missing was the pin. The pin in the planchette was missing.
Okay.
It was plastic. You know, it was plastic. It had the hole for the pin, but the pin was missing. And the pin was supposed to be the part that is driving the planchette.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a really fancy one.
No, that's just how they were.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I always wanted a Ouija board, but my like mom loved Jesus too much, and so it just wasn't going to happen, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Like not long before she died, my mom was like, because we were watching something, I forget what, but my mom was like, don't ever get a Ouija board. And I was like,
and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay. She's like, I'm serious. I'm like, take yes for an answer. Like, I don't,
okay.
Like, I was never going to do it anyway because I think those things are stupid, but like, it doesn't matter, like, why I won't get one. Just be happy that I won't get one. Like,
I had pretty good friends in junior high and high school who were like, you got to make sure that you always say goodbye and that it goes to goodbye before you take your hands off the planchette, or you could get possessed.
Oh, jeez.
But they were sincerely like on the pro using a Ouija board side.
Yeah.
And Ouija safety.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't think, I think it was my mother's,
mm-hmm.
and I think actually she may have had it as a teenager.
Yeah,
it was old. Ours was really old.
Yeah, I mean, in the 50s or whatever, 50s or 60s, it was kind of a game, you know, it was a game. I mean, people said it was spirits, but it wasn't really a devil thing. It was just, this is pretty neat, there's a ghost.
Ooh.
Y'all, I would have so much fun if somebody did like a Ouija board podcast where they like just talk to the spirits. Like one person would, you know, like they would like push the thing around and then like one person would be like, let's ask a question. Who's there? And the other person like talks in the voice of the spirit. Anyway, just putting that out there. If anybody wants to do it, I'd really enjoy listening to it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't an automatic writing podcast.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. I forgot that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is a thing. Depends on if it's a thing. Automatic writing is basically the same thing where you go into a state where that your hand is being controlled by something other than you, in theory.
In theory. Mm-hmm.
And then the writings are from the spirit world.
Send ice cream.
In theory.
Send ice cream.
Kitty.
That's Lexus.
Bella uses a Ouija board to contact a spirit, finds out where Gordon is, and passes the information on to the boys. The spirit also warns that the boys should stay away from Gordon. Did I miss that part? Did she say a spirit warned them not to go?
I'll tell you.
I don't remember that.
I don't think
we
that
just
happened.
Watched it.
They just made that part up.
It feels like they did. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
Unless it was a deleted scene or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
When Sam and Dean arrive at Dixon's place, they find... Oh, hey, feel free to send us feedback to tell us that we're wrong, because I'd love to be wrong. But right. I don't remember that happening.
Yeah.
When Sam and Dean arrive at Dixon's place, they find Gordon gone and Dixon distraught. The two young women are dead with their heads ripped off by Gordon, now a vampire. Gordon visits Kubrick, revealing he's a vampire. He tells Kubrick to let him live long enough to use his new improved strength and senses to kill Sam. Nevertheless, Kubrick attempts to kill him, and Gordon kills him by ripping his heart out, or at least shoving his hand into his chest. Dean and Sam have searched for Gordon to no avail. Dean declares he'll go after Gordon on his own, but Sam protests and confronts Dean about his attitude since he made that deal with the Crossroads Demon. Dean denies that he's scared, but Sam persists, saying that what he really wants is for Dean to feel like his brother again.
Yeah,
and that,
this scene.
At that point, Dean agrees that he'll stay, and they prepare to wait out the night. Gordon rings up the boys. He has a young woman he'll kill if they don't meet him. When Sam and Dean arrive, they rescue the woman, but as they are leaving, a roller door closes, separating them. Trapped in the darkness, Sam is at a disadvantage due to Gordon's enhanced sight. Outside, Dean fails to open the door and then has to use the Colt as a young woman they rescued turns out to be a vampire and attacks him. Yeah, oldest trick in the book.
Oldest trick.
Turn the hostage.
I guess I kind of expected that she was in on it, like, honestly. Or maybe I didn't care. I don't remember.
I figured she was in on it.
It just seemed like if you have a person there, why not turn them into a vampire? And then you have, like,
a tool.
You know, accomplice.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a friend.
Yeah.
Double the vampires.
Dean locates where Sam and Gordon are fighting, but Gordon throws him aside and starts to bite him. Sam pulls Gordon from Dean and manages to grab some barbed wire, which he wraps around Gordon's neck. Sam garrots Gordon until he is decapitated. Seen Buffy did that one before. With a
yep. Yeah, that was a good scene.
With an Uber. Not a driver.
Oh, is that what those are called?
Well, yes.
Turcon, whatever. Later on the side of the road, the boys have a beer while Dean works on the Impala. He starts to explain to Sam what's wrong with the engine and asks him to try fixing it. When Sam asks why, Dean replies he's doing what a brother should do, showing his little brother the ropes. And that's the episode.
That's hard. I get it. Like, I get the, like, what they're going for, but, you know, like, the parallels between vampire and...
Yeah, well, I liked that it was pretty, you know, that Sam didn't say anything about it, but it was pretty bittersweet because Dean was doing what he asked him to do, like be more like the big brother again, and he was doing it, so therefore, even though it's a bittersweet reason, he didn't say anything to ruin the moment.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite moment of the episode.
Definitely.
It's just that whole thing at the end. Got me in the feels, you guys.
Hey, did one of these boys win this episode?
I'm going to go with Sam just because he did that cool killing move.
Yeah, I'll give him that, too. He it was pretty ballsy.
It's not a great sign for him, though, in terms of the whole he is the Antichrist, he can kill people with his bare hands if he wants to.
I think he's more interesting as
couldn't he always do that?
He's ever been.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, he could kill someone with his bare hands to some extent, but can you decapitate someone with barbed wire on your own normally?
Call Mythbusters. I don't know.
Yeah, it's worth it.
You gotta put it in a... Never mind.
Yeah.
Good use of that dummy. Yeah.
You're thinking about the flying Bloody. Decapitating headgear thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, that one.
That was pretty cool, that one. All right, yeah, we'll go with Sam. I'm cool with Sam, even though it's not a great sign for him.
Aside from Sam, I was just going to say, you know, Mercedes McNabb wins the episode because she's in it.
It was pretty cool.
Well, she hadn't gotten killed so quickly. Like, I would have liked her to stick around. Why not? Yeah. Show up later.
I could imagine that was Harmony in her first weeks after the Ascension, you know?
Oh, totally. Because she had that same sort of like Harmony like whine that I love.
And I could imagine Harmony not quite getting what's going on exactly for the first couple of weeks after the Ascension, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God, totally.
All right, what happens next? I don't remember.
Well, we have to do...
Feedback.
Feedback or quotes? I forget. I've got an outline. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, it is quotes.
Yay.
It's quotes. So, Yvette, you're out?
That's correct.
All right.
Oh, we'll just let you read some quotes.
Gordon says, Sam Winchester's the Antichrist. Bella says, I heard something about that. Gordon, it's true.
Bella, from my good friend, the Easter Bunny. Who'd heard it from the Tooth Fairy? Are you off your meds?
Actually, I'm more like a ninja. That's not funny. That's a little funny.
I don't know if I have a second one, because I'm just reading the ones from Supernatural Wiki that they picked. And
they're pretty
lame. I just pulled that one out of memory.
All right.
I just watched it, so.
Good job.
Yeah, this one wasn't really lots of quippy quotes. It was a little bit more serious. I kind of liked that. I appreciated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good sometimes.
Yeah, because we did have, Bad Day at Black Rock recently enough, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
So let's balance it out. Like, now let's get really serious.
Which I'm a little bit behind on Intro to Exit. I just watched the X-Files take on that whole thing.
Yeah, we're also we're halfway through the season already, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, we're amazing!
Strike shortening.
Sorry.
Okay.
That had nothing to do with anything.
No, that was clearing your throat because you had a frog.
Ribbit.
And it's not on the screen.
Not on the screen.
But I was going to say, was it the one from the screen?
And I checked. I checked the second that came up. I was like, is he out there? Is he looking at me?
He could be.
Is he trying to get into
my All right, we've got one piece of feedback. And I not too carefully avoided saying that it's from Heidi, but it's from Heidi.
I knew it.
And I think I'll go ahead and read it, if that's all right.
Yes.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm actually sending my feedback before you record. Shocking, I know. Bella is such a sellout, but I guess she's consistent about it. Careful, Dean, you'll hit an artery. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what she's saying.
I don't understand.
Are they drugging the vampires? I can't wait to hear the newbies' reactions to Harmony being a vampire again.
When he cut his arm.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. When you said, "Do you recognize her?" I was like, "I think I recognize her." And if you'll recall from the commentary, I said, "Is the wrong part of her bumpy? The wrong part of her face distorted?"
Right.
Because I was pretty sure.
I was like, "What?"
Because the vampires are kind of reverse, you know, they get the fangs, but the bumpy head.
No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, and back to the feedback. Her remark about 30 being old is pretty funny because Mercedes McNabb was probably around 27 at the time. Oh, the Buffy fans that work on this show. Harmony's a vampire, and they even mentioned PCP. Hilarious. I missed that quote. I could have done that quote.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. But Sam and Dean are much more black and white on the evilness of vampires than Buffy ever was. Really? I think I was saying that there were a lot more gray on them in this episode, in this series, but
yeah, I thought so too.
Mm.
But okay.
Well, unless she means Buffy the character.
Yeah, I don't know. Buffy was pretty black and white on the ones that she was sure about.
No, but that's what I was saying. It's like Sam and Dean, at least up to this point, have never dated a vampire. So.
Well, yeah.
Buffy's done it twice.
Werewolf, sort of. Not dating exactly. Just, you know, banging.
Wait, what? Oh, well, with Sam,
yeah.
One time.
Not really dating.
No.
Yeah. What a fitting end to Gordon becoming the thing he hates. I can't agree more. I like that. Dean's death wish is getting old. I agree with Sam. Can he get over this death business already? Until next time, Heidi.
Hey, thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Woohoo.
You made it.
Thanks, Heidi.
All right. Somebody want to lead with ratings, or should I go ahead?
Oh my gosh, I have to come up with a ring.
I'll go.
Okay.
I liked it. I was entertained. It had harmony. 7 out of 10. I don't know. I don't have a cool rating system, but that doesn't
really
matter.
We didn't have time to think about it. So
I know. 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, I liked that it was a little bit more serious. I do like the funny ones a lot, but it was a good time for a serious one. And I really liked that we had... you know, we had all the secondary characters, although we killed off two of the three with Bella and Kubrick and Gordon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated them all being in an episode together, despite...
Oh, here you go, Yvette. 7 out of 10 guest stars.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very important. And I liked that that we continued... The vampire race is still, while they keep saying nearly extinct, it's not that extinct yet. I like that there's still vampires, and I would hope that we still see some vampires in the future. We did not see Dixon die, did we? Did we hear him die off screen or see him die?
I don't think so, but I just assumed
because he was talking to Dean about not doing it. Did they not? Did they leave that up in the air?
No, they got him.
Did they get him?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think
it wasn't in the summary, so that's why I was like,
I was already second guessing myself.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like he's gone too. I don't think. I feel like they. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I really apologize. I just watched it an hour ago.
It's short-term memory loss.
But when I was reading the summary, I was like, I should bring this up. No, they'll just mention it later on here, and then they didn't. So I was like, oh, I don't know.
Okay,
but I like Dixon. He was fun. Apparently, he may not be around anymore. But I like that the vampires are not entirely extinct, and I certainly expect to see some more eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Lenore, possibly, but at least some more vampires would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be the focus of the series by any means, but I like them on the series.
They're around. They're out there.
I'm gonna go 7.5 out of 10 really big Halloween store knives. Because that blood was definitely flowing before he touched himself.
You're right. Well, you know, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I don't really have a whole lot more to add to it. So I'm just going to give it a 7 out of 10 flop house mattresses.
That's good. There are plenty of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
John.
At least 7 that we know
of. At least 7.
Yeah, this was a really strong episode, which is why I suggested we do a commentary for it. It's got great guest stars. It's got vampires. That's always fun. It's got a really nice moment between Sam and Dean, towards the end of the episode. So I'm going to give this one 7 out of 10 mojo bags.
Okay, so we were all like pretty much in agreement, and this one got the 7.13.
Yep, that was pretty tight, a tight grouping of ratings there.
It was.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Hey, John, what is our homework for next week?
One moment, and I will tell you. Oh.
And I believe that it's a commentary first, another Nubentary first.
Yes. Homework for next week is Season 3, Episode 8, A Very Supernatural Christmas.
Oh, dear.
This is a special one, you guys.
All right.
Special.
All right.
Cool.
Santa Claus? I'm sorry, I'm making my predictions.
Krampus.
Nice.
Ooh, the Grinch.
Have you guys seen the trailer for Krampus?
I have.
What?
Looks awesome. The
Krampus movie is coming out.
I'm taking it.
No, you're not. This is serious.
It's made by the guy who made Trick or Treat.
No, I'm not taking it.
Take him to Goosebumps first and see how he handles that.
Goosebumps. Don't. Goosebumps, my favorite burr. Ermager. I love doing that with anything.
Me too.
The kids did it for like 2 weeks after Darcy introduced them to it. They didn't even know what they were saying.
I know.
That's great.
All right. We've got some closing theme music and stuff coming up next. So everybody have some of that. And in the meantime, on behalf of everybody else here, happy hunting.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Herper Herter.
Ermagerd.
Ermagerd.
Ermagerd. Ermagerd.
Serpent Nurturer. Bird Cursed.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadruppleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from quadruplez.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at quadruplez.com.
Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, C-Y-A-N-F-E-Y Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight Podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows at quadruplez.com.
Oddly, it tastes more like banana than like pineapple.
Then I'm gonna hate it, huh?
Maybe.
Sounds like a pina colada.
You hate it?
That tastes like...
Monkey house?
Monkey house!
I knew you were gonna say that.
Here.
It's all mine?
It's all yours. You get all you get the monkey ass yourself.
Monkey ass. That's really what you meant all this time when you said monkey house, isn't it?
Well, you know. Alright, let's do this thing. Let's make our memories. Let you while we're here strong. I like this could never.
Go ahead. This is the part where the music would play, and I'm going to edit it all out. Oh. Open it up.
Ah, look it! I'm going to have a snack to get that monkey ass taste out of my mouth.
Can I put that in the end credits?
What are you eating?
Caramel apple.
A Graze Box caramel apple pack.